content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today we're going to start with Sports Kid of the Year. Arden in Charge. Sports Kid of the Year, Arden Pala, is using the power of sports to help underserved kids in his community. The accompanying picture shows a great shot of Arden, and he is hanging from a basketball hoop. At the playground outside Perkins Elementary in San Diego, there's a mural. It features an oversized kid sitting on a small planet Earth, staring off into space. On the mural are the words Sueña Grande, and right above that is the English translation Dream Big. Not far from the mural, on a winter Monday afternoon, cones have been set up around a basketball court and balls have been distributed to a group of 12 or so kids. At the end of the court, a man named Coach Juan is putting some of the kids through drills. At the other end, the person running the clinic looks barely older than the elementary school students. In fact, one is taller than he is. The coach's name is Arden Pala. He's a sophomore at Francis Parker High. He made the clinic possible, and for that, he's our Sports Kid of the Year. An eye-opening experience. The first time Arden visited Perkins was about 4 years ago. He was volunteering to read to the students at the school. On the way out, he was chatting with the principal, Fernando Hernandez. As they were talking, Hernandez told Arden that the school recently had to let go of its athletics coach to save money. It was a blow to the school and the students who desperately needed such programs. Many Perkins students live in shelters, in cars, or even in tents near the school. Hernandez estimated that at time, more than a third of the students were affected by homelessness. And most of those who weren't came from impoverished backgrounds. In this community, we do not have a YMCA, says Hernandez. We do not have a Little League. If parents wish to take their kids to play these things, they have to travel out of this community. And most of our families do not have a car. They're not mobile. When Hernandez explained the situation to Arden, the 11-year-old was stunned. He loved playing basketball. He was on a club team, and while he knew he was never going to grow up to become the next Steph Curry, he found joy in playing with his friends. So Arden talked to his parents, Serhat and Zenyet, about how he could help. They got in touch with Hernandez, and Arden offered to come to the school and teach the kids how to play basketball every Wednesday afternoon. Coaching kids who were roughly his age was not easy. My first year, I wouldn't call it a train wreck because it went well and the kids enjoyed it. But it was hard for me, Arden says. There were times where I was thinking, man, I should just stop doing this, because I didn't know if the kids are getting anything out of it. So Arden did what a lot of kids his age do. He spent time on YouTube. He wasn't watching silly videos, though. He was taking in tutorials on how to teach the kids the game. He also drew on his experience as an actor. We should note that Arden is also an author who has published 3 books about a flying car, and he's also a documentary filmmaker. I had a really loud voice, and I was used to shouting and stuff like that. So that helped me a lot, Arden says. And I got a whistle as well. Whistles are important. Eventually, he began to see results. Basketball was giving the kids something badly needed, structure. It teaches the kids more life lessons, like working as a team, being hardworking, and the need for sportsmanship, Arden says. At the same time, Arden realized that there were more schools like Perkins that lacked sports programs. He soon realized if he really wanted to broaden the program, he was going to need more resources. So at the beginning of 2020, he started Sports for Kids. The charity raises money to purchase equipment and pay instructors like Coach Juan. But it does more than just fund the clinics that have introduced 750 kids to team sports, including soccer and basketball. Sports for Kids has distributed more than 25,000 pounds of food and mobilized 350 youth volunteers. Arden is the chief executive officer of Sports for Kids. In other words, he's the boss. And he acts like it. He's the one who is going out and applying for grants and giving speeches to raise money. He has a real knack for it. The charity has raised more than $300,000. And it's not just money. It's also getting people to volunteer their time. Arden has brought in a former NBA player and a member of the Harlem Globetrotters to help with the clinics. He actually did rugby too, says Hernandez. He brought out players from the local team, and we're all like, what's rugby? How do you play it? What are the rules? And San Diego has a rugby team? How he finds them? I don't know. Remembering their roots. So how did Arden get this way? His parents came to the U.S. from Turkey 27 years ago with few possessions, but they've been able to make a good living through hard work. That hasn't been lost on Arden and his older brother, Keenan. Arden's parents insisted that he and his brother not forget about their family's humble roots, that not everyone has the advantages they do. Arden started volunteering when he was around 5, doing things like serving food at homeless shelters. He always made sure to talk to the people he met there. Hearing their stories, I guess I kind of developed empathy, he says. You get a really good feeling when volunteering, and you feel like you're making an impact. You're having a contribution to society. I mean, I got addicted to that. As Arden is talking, he's sitting in the cafeteria at Perkins. Scattered around the room are boxes of books he procured from Barnes & Noble for the upcoming holiday giveaway. When asked what he'd like to do in the immediate future, he says he wants to put on more clinics to use sports to teach kids about teamwork. In a few years, Arden will be off to college. He wants to make sure Sports for Kids is in good hands when he goes. He'd like to eventually become an entrepreneur, so long as his business can do good. He and some friends are already at it, developing an app that allows parents and struggling students to track and incentivize their work, essentially setting up rewards for reaching academic goals. Coach Juan, for one, doesn't doubt that Arden will achieve his goal. I see him being the owner, CEO for some multi-billion dollar company, says Juan. You better stay close to him because if not, you're going to get left behind. Running the charity means Arden doesn't have time to play with his basketball club team anymore. But he still goes to the gym twice a week to play against grown-ups. And he still finds time to get out schools to do some hands-on work. On this day, he and Juan are running the show for some regulars who have been attending his clinic since they started. Arden gives out shooting tips and runs drills, and when he sees some of the kids goofing off, he makes them do a few jumping jacks. But when he sees some behavior he really doesn't like, saying mean things, he takes the kids aside and talks to them about it. This can be taught through schools and classes as well. They help these kids tremendously, Arden said afterwards. But there's a certain aspect of teamwork and sportsmanship that comes from sports and from athletics. Then it's time to go. So we get up and walk outside, taking one last look at the mural. That's a reminder that sometimes dreaming big can lead to great things. Steady Freddy. Throughout the most trying season of his career, first baseman Freddie Freeman was able to stay focused and fight through pain to lead the Dodgers to a dramatic World Series victory. In the 121 years since the first World Series, no game in the Fall Classic had ever ended on a grand slam. And then Freddie Freeman came along. In the 10th inning of Game 1 in October, Freeman's Dodgers trailed the Yankees 3-2. Freeman was due to bat 6th in the inning, so he just rooted for his teammates to start a rally, never thinking the game would end up in his hands. But it did. Los Angeles loaded the bases with two outs, and Freeman promptly drove a fastball into the far right field seats. The slam propelled the Los Angeles to win the World Series, and Freeman was named the MVP, making a happy end to what was easily the most difficult season the 15-year vet had ever had to endure. But it was a year that ultimately ended on a high, and not just because of the hardware Freeman racked up. For the 8th time in his career, he was chosen to play in the Midsummer Classic. He took his whole family, wife Chelsea and his 3 sons, 8-year-old Charlie, and 3-year-olds Brandon and Max, to the All-Star Game in Arlington, Texas. The family members all became sick with flu-like symptoms, but by the time they got back home, everyone seemed better. Then Max woke up with a limp. Within a couple of days, he wasn't eating or drinking. Freddie was in Houston with the Dodgers when he got a call from Chelsea that Max would have to go to the hospital. Freddie rushed to the airport and flew home. I was just bawling, crying, he says. Doctors ran test after test before they finally were able to correctly diagnose Max's illness. After more than a week in the hospital, he was finally cleared to go home. Freeman missed 8 games, which is one more than in the past 4 seasons combined. He was blown away by the support his family received from the baseball community. One time, I'm sitting in the hospital, Freeman said, and the whole Brewers coaching staff sent a video about how they're thinking about us. Angels outfielder Mike Trout, who was on the injured list, offered to help in any way. "Let me do something," Trout told him. "Can I at least bring you donuts?" "Mike," Freeman replied, laughing, "do you think I'm putting donuts in my body right now?" On August 5th, Freeman returned to the lineup, and the fans at Dodger Stadium gave him a standing ovation. "Honestly, the baseball community and family that we have, it's special," Freeman said. "You don't know when you're going to need the support system, but it surely shows itself." Just as things were getting better with Max, Freeman developed health problems of his own. Lots of them. In mid-August, he broke his right middle finger fielding a ground ball. Over the next six games, he went 3-for-23. "I don't even remember what happened after Max," says Freeman. "I came back and I was grinding, but I was just there physically. Mentally, I wasn't really there." 1 month later, on September 26th, Freeman suffered a bone bruise and a sprain to his right ankle on an awkward play at first base. 9 days later, he was in the batting cage on the eve of the NL Division Series against San Diego. He felt a minor pain in his rib cage, but kept swinging. He took a cut and was hit with a wave of pain so bad it knocked him to his knees. He was told he had basically broken his rib. Freeman had one question: can I play with it? Doctors told him they would do everything they could to deaden the pain. He kept the injury secret outside the clubhouse. "People were asking, is he going to play or is he not going to play?" Freeman says. "It was all about my ankle, but no one knew about my rib. I was trying to keep that quiet because I didn't want the Padres to know. So we just tried to mask it, and we did a pretty good job." Freeman battled through the pain as LA beat the Padres and then the Mets to advance to the World Series, which set the stage for his heroics. Freeman normally doesn't like scouting reports or using video to prepare, but as he prepared for his crucial at-bat, he asked for an iPad and studied how New York pitcher Nestor Cortez pitched to Dodgers slugger Shohei Ohtani, who, like Freeman, is a tall lefty. He devised a strategy: look for an inside fastball. He stepped into the batter's box, and then, Freeman says, it turned out that he threw it right where I was looking. He launched the pitch into the seats. It was the third straight World Series game in which he homered, and he'd ultimately run that streak to six with homers in games 2, 3, and 4. Freeman didn't watch a replay of the Grand Slam until well after the series was over. "After I hit it, we had a game the next day, so it's hard to take it all in," he says. "But then you see all the reactions. When I saw all these people in their homes jumping up and down, running around their houses, it's really amazing. What's so cool about sports is that it can do this to people and bring so much joy and happiness. I didn't really understand, but now to see that, it is amazing. I was able to impact people in such a positive way." As for Max, he's doing much better, and his dad expects him to look like a typical four-year-old by the time spring training rolls around. "Everything's going to be okay in 2025, hopefully," Freeman says. "If not, and that's going to happen in our lifetime, you just handle the speed bumps. Make sure the car makes it over and lands softly, and then you just keep going." Shohei Ohtani hits and pitches. Travis Hunter plays wide receiver and cornerback. But let's not forget about the specialists who excel at a very specific thing. Master of One. Steven Nedorosic, pommel horse. A breakout star at the 2024 Olympics, Nedorosic competed on just one apparatus, but he nailed it. His dramatic performance helped the U.S. team win a bronze medal, and he added another bronze in the individual competition, forever cementing his status as pommel horse guy. Bob Uecker, knuckleball catcher. Knuckleballs flutter through the air, confusing hitters and catchers alike. When Phil Niekro was with the Braves, Uecker was his personal catcher, a thankless job. When asked the best way to catch a knuckler, Uecker said, "Wait till it stops rolling and pick it up." Herb Washington, pinch runner. A track star, when he held the world record in the 60-yard dash, Washington was signed by the Oakland A's in 1974. He appeared in 105 games, tallying 31 stolen bases, 33 runs scored, and zero plate appearances. One of Washington's baseball cards listed his position as designated runner. Bubba Wells, hacker. Former Chicago Bulls star Dennis Rodman was a notoriously bad free throw shooter. So, in a 1998 game, Dallas Mavericks coach Don Nelson opted to put him on the line whenever he could, using Wells to commit the fouls. The rookie fouled out in less than 3 minutes of playing time, an NBA record. Wells was able to show a hint of another skill. He made his only shot. Tim Krull, penalty stopper. Goalkeeper substitutions are rare, but at the 2014 World Cup in the Netherlands, they made the switch in the quarterfinals, bringing on Krull just before the game went to penalty kicks. Krull promptly saved two Costa Rica attempts, sending his team to the semifinals. Let's do a piece of trivia. What's the call? Crowd control. The Fresno Fury are playing the Modesto Mice in a game under Major League rules. Fury batter Ian Scott lifts a high pop-up in foul territory. Mice right fielder Dave Megastang leans over the fence and is about to catch the ball when a fan reaches up and snags it. Megastang insists it's fan interference. What happens next? The answer? It's a foul ball. If a ball is in the stands, it is not fan interference. And now we have a mystery athlete. We have a picture of a young man about 7 or 8 years old with a very short haircut. And he's got kind of a long face. High forehead. Clue number one. The mystery athlete was born in Ames, Iowa, where his father was a football coach at Iowa State. Clue number two. He attended Ohio State before transferring to LSU, where he helped lead the Tigers to a 2019 national championship. Clue number three. A quarterback, the mystery athlete was selected by the Cincinnati Bengals in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft and threw for more than 4,000 yards in two of his first three seasons. So just who is this mystery athlete? It is Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now here's a fun comic strip about Buzz Beamer. It shows a gentleman up on a tall scaffolding working on a ice sculpture of a football. Buzz says, "I am working on a giant ice sculpture of the Super Bowl trophy to display outside the stadium. This is going to be the biggest deal at the Super Bowl, maybe greater than the actual game." Somebody down below calls up, "I hate to defeat your blimp-sized ego, Buzz, but that isn't going to work." And showing the full ice sculpture, it's actually him holding up the football, and a young lady down at the bottom, the one who was speaking to him. So Buzz asks her, "Why? Because the old NFL dudes will object to my cool redesign?" And she replies, "No, it's just that it'll melt down to the size of a golf ball on the tee due to the warm New Orleans climate." Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.